Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Mender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
Yeah, that was harmonic.
Everybody got their nether jokes lined up?
Yeah.
I was thinking we could do...
The Nether Regions?
Nether Gonna Give You Up, Nether Gonna Let You Down song. I don't know if any of you guys can sing. I can't, but maybe we can go with that.
Didn't you originally start off with, let's Nether play this game again?
Yes, he did.
And then the funny thing was I started to like it.
Yeah.
All right. But before we get into Nether, let's start with Steam Summer Sale.
Yep.
Still going on.
And awesome. Yeah. I mean, how fucking cool is it?
Yeah.
Although I kind of feel that I'm shopping more than I'm playing. Remember that night that I think you're like, I'm tired of talking about sales. I'm going to bed. Because we were just sitting there.
We were playing Full Mojo and Bobby was literally not playing the game.
Oh, yeah, he was shopping.
Yeah
it was a all jerk. Tabbed out. Do you guys remember the first time we ever, all three of us, played together? Probably not because you guys have terrible memories.
Yeah.
It was Borderlands 1. And yeah, it was 2008, 2009. First time all three of us played together. I think Emilio and I had played some TF2 before that.
Was that the first time I had met you?
Not in person.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, and it was funny because it was the same thing. You guys would hop into a vehicle, and then I would be, like, straggling behind to catch up, and you guys were like, what's going on here?
It's been the same thing. Every time we play a game with you, you're always out. You got better shit to do.
I'm trying to multitask.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Steam Summer Sale has been a huge distraction. Now, by the time this episode goes up, it might be over. I think it's over the 30th on Monday, maybe 10 o'clock. They tend to do things around 10 o'clock Pacific time, our time.
The real time.
Yeah, the real time. The only time that matters.
Yeah.
And I got to get Wasteland. It's still on sale. It's for sure for 10% off this whole time, but I'm waiting for that last.
Yeah.
Because I missed the goddamn...
Well, the cheapest it's been is $40, but that game is $60?
Yeah, $60 originally. Regularly. Yeah.
Yeah. So has there been anything that you guys have bought that is noteworthy, or what have you guys been buying?
I got my list right here. I'm going to run through it real quick. Witcher 2, Siberia, Siberia 2, Sanctum 2, Real Mist, Nostradamus, Nosgoth, Nether, Monaco, Kentucky Route Zero, Game Dev Tycoon, Full Mojo, Rampage, Far Cry 3, Far Cry 3, Blood Dragon, Skyrim, Egyptian Prophecy, Broken Age, Awesome Knots, and Nicopole.
Skyrim, yeah.
I finally bought Skyrim. That was one thing to note. Finally bought Far Cry 3 and Blood Dragon, which you've been talking about forever. Finally got Game Dev Tycoon, which you've been talking about. And then a lot of these are point-and-click games because they did a point-and-click flash sale, and I just bought them all. And then there was bundles inside the flash sale, so I bought them all.
Is that the Siberia?
Siberia, Nicopole, and the Egyptian prophecy. Like, and then just recently, Broken Age was on sale, so I picked that up.
Oh, nice.
I'm really excited to play that. Finally got Monaco. And then, you know, we could talk about Nosgoth and Nether.
You should play some Monaco tonight.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Still been meaning to get to that. Man, I feel like I've been trying to get to all these games, but the more time I have, the more time is used up.
Well, let's be fair. How much time did you sink into Shadowrun over the last few days?
No, it was a lot.
Yeah. How long did it take you?
About 12 hours, I think, which is the average play time.
Yeah, and you did it in, 2 days or so?
Yeah, I powered through
that. Well, you guys are both basically on vacation, so you guys, Steam has been your life, you know, this week, basically.
Yeah,
it's been an exciting week.
And the other thing that for this Steam sale is I finally have started to kind of understand how the cards and all work. Like, it's just kind of been something that happens in the background, and I could have cared less.
I now understand it as well.
So, you know, when you're doing the Steam sale, you're getting the sale cards, and then I was looking at the price, and the market was selling them for like 40 cents. So I was why should I not put this on sale? So I started putting those on sale, and then I realized that every time you did a badge grouping, you could put another one on sale, and you would get another card. So I was doing that and figuring out how that works. So, you know, I'd spend 30 cents to make 40 cents sort of thing. So it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Kind of figuring out.
You hustle. Can you make minimum wage? You think if you were hustling?
I don't know about that.
No,
you can get... I don't even know if you can make money, at least not at the point that I'm at with it, but I get small returns on it if I craft sets of cards and then I sell the Steam Summer card.
Yeah, but now the summer ones are down to like 18
to 20 cents.
Now, to make a foil badge, you need to have all the foil cards?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the foils really aren't that special either. You don't get any more XP for them or any extra items.
Just that they look better.
With all this going on, Steam has actually implemented a new way of purchasing cards, which allows you to purchase cards in bulk. It's kind of a post and bid system, or more of a post and buy system. And it works with not just cards, but other items as well. It's really cool. It's, first of all, it's allowed, like, these guys that really take the leveling up seriously, it's allowed them to just skyrocket. The guy on top was around level 316, I think. His name's Flush. Yeah, I know all these guys because I check the boards all the time. But he was on top for, like, the longest time, and then all of a sudden, like, they put in this new system, and this one guy who's in a close second for the longest time just shot up. He's, like, level 370, 380-something, wow. Last I checked.
Wow.
Must have spent...
That's the Japanese guy?
Yeah, from Japan. Palm Desert, I believe. You can check these out. Steamrank.net, which used to be the site to go to see who's number one. They took that down a little while ago, but there's a new replacement of steamcollectors.com. You can go there and check and see who's got the most games and who's got the highest Steam level. I'm currently number 23.
Wow. and how many... What
this is a dangerous game you get into. How much did you say the Japanese guy spent to get in first place?
He must have spent thousands of dollars.
Just to go from 2 to 1.
Well, 2 to 1, but other people have spent a lot of money, too. The number one guy is now in number... I think he's in the fourth spot.
What rank are you? Steam? Like, what's your Steam level?
231.
231. Gotcha.
Yeah, so you're
I was proud to hit 10, so I could get I could display our group for...
Yeah. Well, that's why I originally started doing it, just so I could have the showcases. And I really wanted the screenshot showcase most of all, but then I started putting other showcases on my profile. I just wanted to deck that out, make it look cool, but then it got crazy.
Yeah.
Now you're addicted, right? It's competitive.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Because you kind of make friends with the other people who are doing it as well, and it's kind of its own scene, you know? And you know, there are benefits. I can't tell you guys because we're not allowed to tell people below 200. It's a secret.
You'd have to kill us.
It's kind of like a rich man's thing, like where they collect cars. It's like...
It's nothing personal. It's just, you know, Gabe would look down on it. He wouldn't be happy with me.
It must be nice up there on Mount Pius.
Looking
down on us.
This new system they got for buying stuff is really cool because today I was trying to sell a background and the highest price that someone was selling it for was around $3. Typically what I do is sell mine for like $2.99 and undercut them a little bit and just hope that sells eventually. But the way this new system works is people can say, I will buy this for 50 cents. And if it ever goes on sale for 50 cents, they automatically purchase it.
Oh,
so I checked the board for this background. Someone said they'd buy it for 50 cents. And I said, well, you know, I'll take that. Rather than put it up for $2.99 and have it sit there for a month, I'll just make 50 cents right now. Win-win. It kind of bridges the communication between the buyer and the seller. Kind of expedites that a little bit.
Hey, Bobby, do yourself a favor. From now on, every time you chat with anybody, which you chat a lot, right, with the instant messenger within Steam, put an icon in with every, because you have so many fucking things.
I usually
things.
Do. No, I almost always use an icon because I have so many now.
He sent me the screenshot of how many he has. It's probably doubled since last time I saw it.
Are these, like emoticons?
Emoticons. It's almost the entire screen.
Yeah. On a 1080p screen, it takes up almost the entire screen.
Yeah. It's got to be over 1,000 or about 1,000.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Yeah. But yeah, and I always try to find, like, I'll have one in mind, like, oh, this would be a perfect emoticon to use right here, and then I have to dig through all that to find it. And it's organized alphabetically by game.
Oh, first world problems.
Yeah seriously. I don't think I have an emoticon, do I?
You probably have
the default ones and maybe a few extras. I think I sent you some. But the ones I use the most are the thumbs up ones. So you probably see me use that one, the yellow thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can't go wrong with that.
Well, should we talk about games?
Let's talk about some games.
Yeah. So we were playing some games together.
Yeah, we don't play as much as you would think. And it's sad, but it's like there really hasn't been anything that really grabbed everybody's attention. You know, everybody has their own opinions about things. So what we really got into this weekend was Nether. It's a $3 game. It was $3, so everybody just picked it up. And the reviews were terrible. They're done like 56 was the Metascore.
Yeah, 52.
And everybody just gave it thumbs down, so I wasn't expecting much. And man, I almost fucking gave up on that game. Like
4 times.
Yeah. When you get to the server screen, it just locks up anywhere from 1 to 5 to 6 minutes.
It locks
minutes.
Up for the peasants. Wasn't locking up for Bobby.
At all.
Yeah, but it was taking us like 5 minutes on that screen.
Yeah, yeah. It's really bad. Like, that's when you go to the bathroom. It's like pretty bad. So, And then once you get in, the collision's really bad.
Really bad.
There's a lot of like little bugs here and there.
There's a lot of fundamental problems with this game. You try to climb over a rock and you just kind of hover above it. And if you go into water,
your screen turns blue and you can't like float. You can't do anything.
Yeah, it's not like water physics. Typically in a game, when you go into water, you can kind of float. Maybe you have to hit the space bar to stay afloat. You know, there's usually some sort of way.
This turns all water into like quicksand, like glitchy quicksand.
Yeah, and you just start drowning immediately.
Bitsand, anyone?
Yeah. Something like that.
So that all that being said, once you do get in and you join up with your buddies, it's fucking fun.
Yeah.
These people created a gorgeous post-apocalyptic city. The details in every little street corner. And you, Chad was just mentioning last night how they don't use things over and over. They do, but they mask it. They'll use the same building over and over, but you can't tell because the stuff inside is all different. Or a door might be in a different place.
But even that, I didn't see that often. Like, if you look at the cityscape, it's not like you're seeing the same size building, or it's really crazy. And I was out in the marsh, like in areas that people don't normally go, and that's all rendered out, and all these like little intricacies that just make it seem like a real world.
Yeah,
it looks great in screenshots, but when you actually play the game, the character animation some of the other stuff just are terrible.
Yeah,
everything just is so glitchy with the characters and with the monsters, the Nether as they call them.
I kind of want to say that I equate it to like a huge painting that an artist did, but it's a gigantic painting, but there's no good detail. Like all the details fucked up. It's impressive in that it's huge.
Yeah.
Well, in a screenshot, everything's still as well. And in the game, things tend to stay still. Like, it doesn't seem like there's wind blowing through the trees. It seems like it's a paper cutout or something.
Yeah.
This is on the Unreal Engine 3, so not the newest Unreal Engine, but it still looks really good.
Yeah, it looks excellent.
And so I equated this to DayZ. This and DayZ seem very similar to me in that it's PvP, but you've got the zombies around, and it's a lot of searching in buildings, trying to find items and all. And there's this one actually has home bases where you are in safe zones and you can buy and sell stuff. So there's like a community, but it's to me it feels like DayZ. But the actual playing, I haven't played DayZ in a couple months, but this game like actually felt like a first person shooter. Mm-hmm. Like you can move around and shoot and aim and stuff like that. The weapons are easier to find than in DayZ. Like you can get weapons. You're not like stuck using.
But it's also luck. You feel lucky when you find the gun.
Yeah.
You can find one pretty easily.
You can find parts or you can find a whole gun. And when you find a whole gun, you're excited. But by the, you know, when we were playing halfway through, all of us had a pistol and a rifle and a melee weapon.
Yeah.
So it's not like impossible to get weapons. And then we went after that Reaper.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
That was cool. We got to find it, which is basically a boss fight. It's a random monster that spawns. And we're like, where is this thing? I don't know. It says right here on the map. Whoa, what the fuck is that, sir? And this giant monster's running
like
at us.
15 feet tall or something
like that. Yeah, it's really big. And as it runs, all the monsters, you know, there's not very many of them. But the models are really awesome.
Yeah.
Their movements and animations are all shit.
Yeah.
But they did a really good job of like, and the sound is killer. They're really scary at first. Like I got to the point where they weren't scary anymore. But if you're only running around with a butter knife, they're still scary. Like you get scared.
And that's kind of what we were saying was missing in DayZ and in Rust was like, give me some events, give me something bigger than just the zombie. Give me something that scares me or makes me have to do it in a group. And that's what this thing was doing. There was another escort quest where you're carrying this bomb or something with this like beeping noise, which is attracting the Nethers. And when you're carrying this, you can't shoot or anything. You're just holding this thing.
Yep.
So you have to do it in a group. You can't do it by yourself. And it was fun. Like, it was scary because like you're basically walking this and these Nethers are coming and your buddies are like keeping these monsters
and everybody else on the server can see you on the map that it's moving.
Yeah.
So, and that thing's worth a lot of money. So that brings the players too. Man, what a great idea to bring all the attention in one area. Same thing with the Lurker. What's the main one we just mentioned?
Reaper.
The Reaper. There's no better time to attack another player than when he's fighting that fucking thing.
Yeah.
We lucked out and nobody attacked us, but
yeah, the servers are up to 64 people, and we were usually plan on ones with like 20 or
like 20.
Or
and we were lucky because we're running 5-6 deep most of the time. So
when we were seeing people, we were ganking them, not the other way around, which was
for
nice.
The most part. We got ganked a few times.
On the surface, this looks like DayZ or Rust, just your typical survival crafting game, but there is no base building like there is in Rust, and it seems a lot more like DayZ, although I feel like this game did it a lot better because it's got so much more PvE in it. The Nethers, you know, you have to deal with them, and a lot of your time is spent fighting them.
And they can randomly gang up. They'll
and the other thing that is unique in this one is it's got RPG elements because you're gaining XP from killing things, and then you can put points into your stats, which give you bonuses and stuff like that. But it's got...
which are noticeable, and they're good.
But it's got permadeath. Yeah. So when you die, all those stat points are gone. Mm-hmm. And then you've got like an account-based XP also. So playing more will give you bonuses that will...
Very small perks.
Yeah. Yeah. But they'll stick around when
you respawn. But the worst thing about dying is having to go back. You don't have to, but if you go back to that server screen... It's fucking awful.
And then you're trying to be in a rush because you want to get your items back.
Yeah, because they're going to despawn. So
now, was this early access or is this out? I couldn't...
It's out.
It felt like early access, didn't it?
Yeah.
It really feels... This is in worse condition than most early access games, but it is officially released. They're still patching it regularly, but it is awful. All the good things that I like about this game are completely negated by the glitches and the bugs. Like, it is so bad.
Yeah, I think the only way this is fun is if you played it exactly the way we played it.
In a group
of friends.
Five
people trying it out for the first time. Everybody's learning this. Because if I came in with a new person, I wouldn't have any fun because he's trying it all out and I've already seen all this
stuff. Yeah, that's why, like, when those other two players came in, the two dicknicks, I told them, go do the tutorial, learn the game, and then you could come join us.
Yeah.
I think that worked out well.
Yeah. So, I cannot recommend this game unless you have that specific scenario. If you have five people that want to play a crafting survival horror game...
I feel like two of us can have fun.
Yeah,
right
now.
I don't know about that. I think you got to have a large group because the funnest part of this game is taking on other people, and they're usually rolling in big groups as well. You're going to make it, you're going to die over and over again if you're just playing this in a small group, and it's not going to be any fun, or you're going to get frustrated and call it quits.
Well, I don't know. Our hero Bobby went 3-on-1, and then Nick went 3-on-1 and came out winning on the other side.
But you know why you can do that? And this is my biggest complaint, even more than the glitches, more than the bugs. My biggest problem with this game, there's absolutely no noise from character movement.
Oh, that's right.
Everybody is a ninja. They can just sneak up on you.
Like, it should be a perk.
It is a perk. There's a stealth tree
But it's all you already have.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes you silent for the Nethers.
The Nethers,
but it doesn't affect other players. So we had a couple people on guard. We had holed up in this area, and we were kind of guarding it, and somebody just waltzed right in. They just walked right in. Couldn't even hear him coming at all. You can't even hear someone walking right behind you, and that's really annoying, especially for a first-person shooter player who's used to listening for footsteps.
Especially where melee is so important in this game as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, people are going to be shanking you.
Yeah, so I don't know how much more time I'd be putting into this game. It's kind of a situational thing. If a bunch of people are playing it, I'll hop on. But other than that, I don't really see myself loading this up too often.
If we're not giving it a good review or like a confuser, it's because we have mixed feelings. It has massive potential if they can iron out the problems.
If they had left this in early alpha, made this a free release that people could go and write bugs with the plan of selling it in a couple months from now, they would have done it right.
Yeah.
But it seemed like they needed the money now, so they...
They probably got pressured by their investors or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you think it's too much to ask for one of these games to come out fully released and not...
Well, apparently that's what H1Z1 is supposed to be, from what I hear.
Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be nice, because I feel like every single one of these games is in alpha or beta or just has massive problems.
Well, none of them have been AAA title, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there hasn't been one. That's what H1 and Z1 is.
Yeah, that's an SOE title, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think it's going to have a PC release. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. SOE is mostly PC.
Mm. Hmm.
So, the other game we all played together was Nazgoth. Did we actually?
I never actually got it.
Okay. But so, Bobby and I played, and we were playing with Tyler, who is a listener. Shout out, Tyler. And I think Nazgoth, I didn't play a whole lot of time with it, but I was having a lot of fun when I played. Bobby, did you want to go into what it's about?
Yeah, it's an asymmetric player versus player. It's vampires versus humans.
And what he means by asymmetric is the two sides don't play the same way. The human sides are more about sticking as a group, working together. They have healing things, so if you survive the onslaught, you can go and heal. Versus the vampires, which play, there's a bunch of different style, like a big tank guy versus a stealthy guy versus a flyer.
So kind of Left 4 Dead-ish?
Yeah.
Yes.
You've got 4-on-4, and there's no set rules, but typically the vampires take the role of the aggressor. The humans tend to group up and get ready for an attack, and then the vampires try to coordinate attack. So it's basically like Left 4 Dead versus mode, but you're always on respawn, and it's you don't have to progress through a level. You've just got this wide open map.
How do you win?
It's a point-based system.
Okay, so you lose.
No, actually, tickets. I thought it was a time. It's a time thing based, and then whoever has the most points.
You can
points.
Get up to 30 points first, or you can have the most points when the time runs out. And the rounds are short.
They go away. Somebody is a point.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And you play both sides. So you play as a human, then next round you play as a vampire, and then whoever
compare.
Yeah, they total the points and whoever wins.
And I kind of feel like what I'm picturing is the humans are kind of huddled up.
Usually the levels are usually like they look kind of like medieval villages or something, but a lot of verticality, the vampires can climb up walls and stuff, so they've set these up to make that it has some verticality.
And both teams have classes?
Yeah, both teams have classes. Like the humans start off with the two default classes is like a hunter one with a crossbow kind of weapon and like bolas, and then an alchemist which fires kind of like a grenadier sort of. It shoots kind of grenade things, and then she's got this blinding light that she can do that blinds the vampires, but not the humans.
Oh, that's cool.
And then the vampires, the default ones, is kind of like a stalker class.
It's the hunter from Left 4 Dead. Almost exactly like the hunter from Left 4 Dead.
And then the other class is a tank class, which has more hit points. He can do this invulnerability ability.
And he's like the charger from Left 4 Dead. This is pretty much Left 4 Dead, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was having a lot of fun. Like, I don't normally play this asymmetrical style of PvP. So it's a lot of fun trying to figure out what works best. And you can, like, change your roles every time you die and figure out...
And that's what Evolve's going to be, too, when it comes out.
Yeah, so...
It was a lot of fun, but I don't see myself playing this for a long time. After a few hours, I kind of got my fill of it. And it does have different items that you can equip, different classes you can unlock, and I think they're going to be adding more classes to the game. Obviously, you can either buy these perks or items outright, or you can spend a long, long time grinding experience to get them with. So you got a bit of a pay-to-win, play-to-win situation going here as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's like a significant advantage over getting some of these, because they just randomly rotate the perks anyway.
Can the Stalker class use the tank as a literal shield to get closer to the other guys?
Yeah.
That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
All the vampires are mainly based off of melee, and it's all about getting in close. And like Chad said, they can climb walls, they can leap off of buildings. They all have ways of getting in really quick, really fast. There's also ways to blind your opponent. The bolos that the humans use can...
disable attacking for a while.
Yeah, kind of stun them a little bit. And yeah, there's all these things going on there. It's actually a pretty fun game. It looks good. The sound is surprisingly good. I don't know why.
Who made this game? This is like EA. This is a bigger company. Capcom, I think. Is this a Capcom game?
I'm not sure.
Speaking of Capcom, they recently changed their stocks around so they can be purchased.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Like they made a move.
What they were protecting themselves from a hostile takeover.
That's what a lot of companies do. And now they've removed that, which means they're open to be bought out.
So they haven't been bought out. There hasn't been any change of ownership or anything like
I'm
that.
I'm sure there's a lot of meetings going on about buying that.
Yeah.
I mean, just getting in the Street Fighter IP and the Resident Evil IP.
Yeah, they do have a lot of IPs that people would really like.
And then something's and their president just stepped down right before they did that. So there's just chaos, I think, going on over there.
Yeah.
I just hope there's a Street Fighter V. That's all I care about.
Yeah. I'm sure it's already in the works. As far as Nosgoth is concerned, I had a lot of fun. I might play it. If somebody wants to play it with me, I'm down to play it. But it's not one of those games that I'm probably going to be like, I'm going to log on and play.
Would you rather play TF2?
I don't know. I played a lot of TF2. This is, don't get me wrong, this is a fun game, but it's nothing that I haven't seen
And what
before.
Is it? It was like $3.99 right now or something like that.
I think it was on sale for $5.
Yeah, something like that. So, I mean, if you're into the first-person shooters and you're into this small-team first-person shooter cooperative kind of play, then this game is a lot of fun and you would enjoy it.
And I'm surprisingly good at this game, too. Like, I go like 13-1, like every round is weird. But
He got bored because he kept beating everybody, so he's like, let's find something else.
Another thing to mention about Left 4 Dead, since we brought it up, Bobby showed me a video of all the like funniest mods that people put on Left 4 Dead, and it's pretty good. Like, there's a lot of really funny stuff in there.
The Teletubby one was just freaky.
Yeah, Teletubby is probably
Left 4 Dead 2 has the best mods. I was playing one today, actually. I was playing the Helm's Deep map, where it's survival. You just have to survive waves and waves of zombies.
Right? Can you make them orcs? I wonder if you can make them orcs.
I'm sure.
There might be an add-on for that. I was using the mod to change the common infected to Steam sale price tags, though. So there's all these hordes of Steam sale price tags, 75% off, 25% off, just rushing Helm's Deep, and you got to fight them off.
That's pretty.
I thought that
you
was
sure that wasn't thing. A nightmare you had last night, because it's so close to your real life.
Yeah, I was
too many sales. It's getting this bad, folks. Bobby cut his own hair so that he could buy one more game.
So you had a good week, Emilio.
I did. I had a whole week off. So I didn't play as much Oculus as I thought I was going to play, just because the resolution is so low on this Dev Kit 1 that it's, you know, it's hard to read text even. So you can't even go through menus. And you have to just kind of like click on shit and hope that it works. So I would take it off and look at the screen. And even then, the resolution is it's so small because it's a duplicate thing.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I did have some, there was some things that stood out. First of all, the Oculus website is very cool. Like, once you register your Oculus, the resources there are pretty good. You know, there's a bunch of videos on like how to's and stuff. There's a lot of community support, and there's a whole page of anything that like is ready to be used on the Oculus is on a list, and it's all rated by Oculus players, you know, and so it's all ranked. And you could just download like a bunch of demos. You can go, or you could like say Euro Truck Simulator was on there, so you click it and it'll take you right to Steam, and you could buy it from Steam or whatever. But most of them are free because they're just demos, right? And the most impressive thing that I saw or experienced, I guess, was the Senza Peso, which is Italian for weightless. Basically, what it amounts to is a Disney ride in a, you know, like a Lover's Lagoon or something like that, where you just sit in a boat and experience this trippy ass shit.
Get in the boat. It's like the Tunnel of Love.
Tunnel of Love, yeah. What I call it, Lover's Lagoon.
Some like creepy, like.
Yeah, but it's, yeah, it's
guy's
very,
face.
It's super weird. And like, instead of going through rooms, you're going through dimensions. And it's just super weird. You don't know what the hell is going on. You know, it's very, it's out there, but it's beautiful. The music is really good. It's an experience. You sit through this boat, and you just go through an experience. Bobby, you just went through it. What did you think?
Yeah, I liked it. The resolution is definitely the biggest problem, but this is the older dev kit, so right. It was at 1280x800, which is 640x400 per eye. So that is extremely low. Like, you can see the pixels right in front of you.
Yeah, it looks like a screen door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So once. The newer one is 1920x1080. I think they got full 1080p, so
right.
540 per eye.
And so how do you get this one now? Like, if somebody
you can just
to get...
order it from them. Well, you can pre-order it.
So if you pre-order this, it's not the... Is it the final dev kit?
No.
If you buy this one...
It's probably the final dev kit. It's not the consumer model that's going to come out in 2015.
Gotcha.
Now with that... It might even be 2016, now that Facebook came on, and now that deal with Samsung... That's almost like hardware-wise, they're going back to the drawing board because now they have Samsung screens, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe it'll hustle things along. Who knows? But I just watched some videos of the guys, you know, talking about where they plan to go and stuff. And the guy was like, I know people are worried because Facebook came on that we're going to start going into more education and like stuff like that, and which we are. But let me tell you, everybody here, every single one of us that are developing this on the top end, we're all gamers. Like, we got into this we came over from id and stuff, you know, so they're all, so it's going to be game centric for sure. Anyway, Dev Kit 2 has a lot, it's not just the resolution, the refresh rate on the screen, there is less latency. There's less. The first time I played it, I got really nauseous, actually. And so did my other friend. Like, I was actually nauseous for about 30 minutes after playing it as well. And I'd never get motion sickness or anything like that ever. I thought for sure it wasn't going to affect me, but it did. But then after that, it didn't affect me at all.
I noticed there was a bit of a jitter to it, not necessarily latency, where if you turn your head side to side really quick, that there was a delay, but there was actually along the lines of objects, you would see it kind of jitter as you moved. That's really all that I noticed, but not really any sort of delay.
I think it's one of these things where you don't notice it until you see something better. You know, you probably notice it when you have the better version.
So do you play games on it? How did that work?
So the only game, well, you could play
TF2.
You could play TF2,
but I would play a little bit.
But I wouldn't recommend it. I think there are some advantages. Maybe if you play the engineer, I was able to work on my sentry and look behind me, looking for spies and soldiers, and that's so good for an engineer because you know you're constantly getting fucked with when you're building, and you have to look at your machine. So there was that. But as far as like aiming in general, what'd you think, Bobby?
I didn't like the aiming. I was thinking for a medic, it might work a lot better because you're constantly healing someone and looking for other people who may need healing as well. It would be useful there. But when I was playing the heavy, you can move your mouse around and put the cursor in different places to shoot the gun. But you can also move your head as well to kind of change the screen. It's really hard to explain, and it really is disorienting. I think it's something that I might get used to after a little while, but it's almost like, I don't know, for some reason I ended up just like looking to the right the whole time. Like I had my head cocked to the right and I kept moving the mouse around. Like
it's I was watching him play and he's basically all the way to the right and his hands are sticking out trying to reach the controller. Yeah. Yeah.
It does that sometimes. It gets cockeyed.
If you move your mouse left, it moves a cursor on the screen where you'll fire, and then it hits like a certain point where it actually moves your field of vision. So the mouse can control your field of vision, and you can also control that by turning your head. So you got two things controlling your field of vision.
There's like four prerequisites for TF2 on how to set it up. So you can have it where anywhere you look is where you're aiming at, or there's a few other combinations.
See, I was looking for that. I didn't find it, but I didn't spend too much time on it.
It reminds me a lot of, I don't know if you guys have ever used the gun on the PlayStation, but it's like you're pointing the gun, and if you start getting to the edge of the screen, then you start moving the screen.
That's exactly what it is like. Yeah.
And so it's a little bit confusing at first because you have once you're in that square, you have a lot of accuracy, right? You point and shoot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But getting it to move and stuff is a little disorienting, and I was watching Bobby play. It was hilarious.
Bobby, what'd you think of the Enterprise?
Oh, that was cool.
I thought it was really impressive.
Yeah, that was nice. Yeah, tour of the USS Enterprise.
Yeah, just the engine room. Although he's now done the bridge as well, but I don't think it's up yet.
Right. It's just a tech demo, basically.
It's just a tech demo, yeah. You get to walk around. It's much better than the built-in one.
But those things are cool. Like, you always wonder when you see settings on TV shows, like, you always see the same shots, you know, like the Simpsons house. Everybody knows that, but to actually walk through it, that's a cool experience.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's why they call it the fourth wall, because there's no fourth wall there. You know that there isn't even, but now somebody had to actually guess what the other wall looks like, you know, which is basically the mirror image of the other side.
Exactly.
But let's see what else. So Slender Man,
did you actually try it out?
Yeah. And
Slender Man 2, right? Is that
I guess. What's the arrival? Is that 2?
I think so.
It's like a reboot or a remake. It's like the official version of it.
So, these scary games fucking scare the shit out of me.
It's a first-person scary game.
Yeah, it gets me to the point where I can't play games. but, now again, I only played it for about 5 minutes, but imagine it's super dark, you can barely see. Then you put a screen door in front of your face. So it gets to the point where, like, yeah, sure, this is scary, but it's also fucking annoying as shit, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just didn't continue playing it. The only actual fun that I had, again, Euro Truck Simulator, that's more of an experience. It really does fuck, man. You really feel like you're in a truck. You feel like you're in a goddamn big rig. You're like, what the fuck? And
and the audio's going too.
Yeah. It's really cool. And then you look around and like you're checking your mirrors No, you're not checking your mirrors. You're actually like looking around, looking at the landscape, and you turn back and you're like in the shoulder lane and you're like, oh shit. It's like, do. Or you wreck into a car because you're like trying to experience. You got to keep your eyes on the road, but you want to experience. Like, I kept looking at the top of my cabin just because it's so immersive. As far as the game goes, yeah, by far that's the most immersive.
Like, you want to reach out and try to like touch the
ceiling. Yeah, yeah. One time during that Italian demo, there was a little like blue leaf that falls through. I mm-hmm. almost reached out and tried to touch it, like, but it's just by, and I was like, oh, I'm stupid. And another thing, like, my phone rang, and I grabbed my phone and I looked at it with the goggles on. I'm like, what am I doing? it's weird funny. When you look, you think you're somewhere and you look down and you don't see your hands. It's kind of trippy. Mm-hmm. And lastly was the game that I did have fun with was Ah, which is the falling game.
Base jumping.
Yeah. A reckless disregard for gravity, I believe. But this is a play on word. It's Oculus.
Gotcha.
So you just jump off and you kind of... at first, I was having issues with it because there's no sense of speed. You're falling so slowly. I was like, this is kind of dumb. And you also... You have to kind of... If you want the immersion, you kind of like have to open your legs and put your head between your legs. And put your head... in front of your body, because if you're just looking down, you don't get the sense of feeling of falling. Mm-hmm. But then once I started doing that, as stupid as I might have looked, I was alone in my room, thank God. It was pretty fucking awesome, especially in the later levels where the sense of speed really... There's a few times where, like, this is old, watching your mom play Super Mario Brothers and, like, moving her body. Like, I was, like, leaning to not hit things. That was really cool. That was probably the most fun experience that I had.
Yeah, I was watching you play this a little bit. It looked... From what I was seeing, it looked like it would be fun. Because you were scoring points by trying to get close to things but not hit mm-hmm. them.
Yeah.
So, like, you are really trying to, like, be dangerous while you're base jumping. It was pretty cool.
Yep. Mm.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, definitely the resolution is something that needs to improve on that. And I did notice a little bit of discomfort actually wearing the physical device. I didn't even wear it that long, but I can't imagine wearing that for over an hour.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you experience any of that? Did you have trouble with that?
No, not really. You probably had issues with it because it's set up for my
giant
dome. Yeah. I got a big ass head, man.
Yeah.
I didn't make too many adjustments on it, but
it's like an orange on a toothpick.
it wasn't so much the it was the straps a little bit, but it was also the little area for your nose to go. I felt like I was breathing on myself or something. It was kind of strange.
So any interest in getting a dev kit too, Bobby, or
how much are the dev kit twos?
I think they had said it was going to be $350, but that's at release and who knows how far we are from release. And that's at this point when the actual real version comes out, it may be something completely different and more expensive.
Yeah, it's probably going to be more expensive,
but it keeps going up and up.
PC gamers, guys went to E3 where they had it and they tried it out for the first time and they said it was a massive improvement over the first one. And they got to play Alien Isolation.
Usually, development kits are very, very expensive just because they're set up to be used for companies, not individuals.
Oh, you think they're more expensive?
Yeah, dev kits are usually more expensive.
Oh, $350. So $50 more than the regular one, but you're getting a massively better item.
And the good thing is, it could be used, you know, it can be used as just an Oculus. Like, you don't have to use the dev part of it.
Oh, right, yeah. I mean, they're calling it a dev kit because it's intended for that, but, you know, the majority of the ones they sold are probably just people like us fucking around on it.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
For $350, if it is that much better than this one, I would say it's probably worth it, but then again, why not wait for the consumer model?
Because people like you who just have to play it, you know?
I don't know when that consumer model is coming out, though.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be anytime soon.
Yeah, 2015, 16, something like that.
Should we talk a little bit about what we're playing individually?
Yeah, sure.
Who wants to go first?
Why don't you talk about Game Dev Tycoon, because I remember I talked that up a bit last week.
So, I'm not going to talk a whole lot about it, because Bobby's brought this up before on previous podcasts. But basically, you play as a game developer. You start with one person in your garage. It's a simulation game, so it has graphics and they're cute and all, but it's not about the graphics. It's about the menus and selecting things and doing things within the menus. I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun. I played it and beat it first playthrough. It took me a couple hours. It's probably like a 4 or 5 hours maybe to go through, something like that.
Yeah, until you beat it, but you can keep playing on after that? Like, did you get an R&D lab in the hardware station and do all that? Okay.
Yeah, but my hardware was not doing well when I finished the game. So the game ends after, 35 years, I think?
Mm-hmm.
So basically it starts with the, what would be the equivalent, the Amiga? What's going on there? There's the PC, the Commodore maybe, or something?
The Commodore, the Commodore 64 and the PC are your only platforms.
Yeah, so it goes through, starts there, and then it does all, like the real world, you know, with the Game Boy that comes out, and all the things that come out, has the equivalent of it in this game.
What was your company's name?
Glitch Games.
Hmm.
And so you have to develop engines and stuff like that, and do research. And then you start hiring people, and then you have to watch out for them. But there was a lot of things like the people I got, I just never fired. You would have thought like it was a real company. Like, they would leave the company and go somewhere else. You'd have to worry about hiring. Like, there was a lot of things like it was too easy, I thought, a lot of times. Like, most of my games were successful. I didn't have a whole lot of flops. I never was really in risk of going bankrupt.
You would think hiring and firing would have been big thing for a small company.
Yeah, like,
you're gonna get an asshole here and there.
Yeah, and I started, the first guy I hired was like, I got the achievement for hiring a famous person, like, right off the bat, the first person I hired. And
you,
I was,
could have,
like,
had a lucky run through as well, because all these games are random.
Maybe. I just felt like there was no challenge, really. It was fun to play, don't get me wrong, and I enjoyed it.
What'd you pay for it?
$5? Something like that.
It was on sale for $4.
Yeah, four bucks. Yeah. And so it was worth the money, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, $4 to play this game, and, you know, maybe...
Chad came out of his room, he's like, I don't know what the fuck I just played.
It's true. So it was fun. It was nice. I didn't get a perfect game. Like, that was one of the things. Because after you make a game, it gets, like, reviewed, and they get ratings. And I got, like, a 9.75 was my best game.
Mm.
And you get...
That's still excellent.
Yeah, you get achievements for...
Did you name your games, or did you...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So... My hunting games got 9.75.
Yeah.
Apparently, hunting games are all the rage. and then I did some driving games that did really well. And then I did some ninja games that did really well.
Did you have any names that stood out?
They were cheesy. You think of them in 10 seconds, like Racer X or whatever. Yeah. You know, like... But I was doing sequels, and then I realized you had to research sequels to do official sequels, so I didn't realize that was the whole thing.
Yeah, and sequels sell better if the game was successful. And also, did you do an MMO?
Mm-hmm.
That bankrupted me. Well,
did two MMOs.
I did an MMO, and then eventually I was making money off it, releasing DLC or an expansion pack for it, and it was doing okay, and then the cost to maintain it ended up being more than I was making.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but you can end those MMOs. You can end the runs.
Oh, yeah, I probably should have done that.
Yeah. So I did an MMO and did one expansion and then ended it, and my fans got mad at me. So then I did another MMO and did like 3 or 4 expansions, and you get to a point where it's just not making any money, and so you close it down. You know, you go to the E3 equivalent, and then it tells you what rank you are at E3. So you're trying to get up to the max rank, to number one. And then you can do your own convention and stuff. So
yeah,
it's fun.
It's a casual sim game. I don't know if there's a lot of casual sim games, but it's not difficult, but you can unlock a lot of stuff in it. Like, you mix and match genres, and you see which ones work best with each other and on which platforms, and then that information is stored for other playthroughs. So you could technically unlock everything. So I kind of started doing that after a while to see how many genres I could unlock, how many things I could get.
You guys are making it sound more and more appealing to me.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's a fun game.
And especially, like you said, I think when you talked about this last time, if you don't know about video games, it's cool to see
the history.
Because it is accurate. Like, they come out with the PlayStation when the PlayStation came out. It also tells you why the PlayStation came out and what's going on, why, because it was a Nintendo original, you know, they were going to do it for the Nintendo and all this stuff.
Mm.
So, like, it actually goes through the history
and what the developers had to do to react to the hardware side of it.
Yep.
Stuff. That's really cool.
And not only that, but when you release a game, it shows you, you get a choice on what platforms you want to release it for, and it shows you what has the most market share. So, like, what would be more profitable if PC's got lower market share, it might be better to release it on a handheld or on a Sega Mega Drive or whatever they called it, Nintendo.
Yeah, Nintendo.
Yeah. Naming your games is fun. I had a lot of fun with that. I want to take a screenshot of all my games because I thought they're just so hilarious. You know, of course, my name of my company was Dude Industries, and all the games were just play on words of Dude.
There's no way you could bring it up right now, huh?
Left 4 Dead 2. The Walking Dude, Watch Dudes, Assassin's Creed 4, Black Dudes.
Oh, man.
And so on.
That's good.
That's really good. Yeah. I used to see him laugh, just laughing in the darkness when the sun's coming up.
So I would recommend this game if you're into Sims. Like Bobby said, it's a casual sim. It'll take you a couple hours to play through. I'm not sure I necessarily have a desire to play through it again. Maybe I'll do it again to try to get some of these other achievements, try to get the 10.0s and stuff like that. But it's...
You just go crazy. Like, I was thinking just stay PC exclusive and just see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, you could...
If you just made strategy games, those sell well on the PC.
Yeah. So it's fun, and I recommend it.
Yeah, for $4, can't go wrong with that.
Yeah.
Bobby, sell me on Shadowrun. It's on sale right now, still while we're talking right now.
Well, it won't be by the time people listen to this, but Shadowrun Returns. That game kind of came out of nowhere for me. I had heard good things about it, and I saw it on sale earlier in the Steam sale, and I figured I'd just pick it up. I heard good things about Dragonfall, the expansion for it.
Did you get both?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I got both.
Did you play through both?
No.
Okay. So, before you get into it, though, Shadowrun
was originally a tabletop game.
It's a tabletop game.
And also a Super Nintendo game.
And what's the world about?
Steampunk, isn't it?
Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk, so it's future?
Yeah, it's future with magic and technology.
And it's got like orcs and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Got orcs and trolls. So it's kind of a mix of fantasy and sci-fi, but it's mostly futuristic.
Didn't they do a first-person style game in the Shadowrun world? For like Xbox or something?
Oh, you know what? They might have. There's been a lot of Shadowrun games. There's maybe like six of them.
Okay, sorry. Continue.
But, the franchise is popular, and I hate being thrown into these games where they're already established, the world is already established, and then I just play a game, and I feel like the games kind of assume that I know everything. Like, about halfway through the game, I was on this one level where I was in a cemetery, and some zombies popped out. And I was just like, wait, what the hell? What? There's zombies in this world? Apparently, that's part of the canon for Shadowrunner. But
sounds like Nerd's Utopia.
Yeah, it's just a mishmash of everything.
Yeah, it's
zombies,
got
orcs, all kind of orcs, zombies, robots,
cyber, magic.
Yeah.
It's got all that stuff. This is a tactical RPG, turn-based when it comes to the combat. It plays like XCOM, just like XCOM when you're in combat, which I really liked because XCOM is a really good game. Mm-hmm. But the RPG element I really liked as well. The story was decent, but there's a ton of dialogue. Like, it is so thick on the reading. It kind of got old after a while.
Is this isometric?
Is that the worst part?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And that's the worst part of this?
All the reading?
Yeah.
I could deal with it. It wasn't so bad. I really don't like text dialogue, but I could deal with it.
I picture Mio playing just clicking massively through until he gets to the next fight.
Usually. And then Chad says, why aren't you doing this? Yeah. I don't know.
Like us playing WoW.
That's how I used to. Yeah, exactly. You can do that on WoW. And that's what I did when I played WoW. And being a first-person shooter player most of my life, and RPGs were kind of tough with all that dialogue. But if you don't do that, then you're missing a huge part of the game, and you're not getting the right experience out of it. So I went through the whole game in like maybe 2 days. It's about 12 hours for the whole game.
Jed thinks I'm crazy, but I like to just grind. I just go in the forest and kill shit until I level up.
Yeah.
It's the slowest way of leveling up.
Well, MMOs give you that option.
So, but it's not spoken. It's not audio, right?
No.
I know it's weird, but like I'd prefer it not to have audio because I'm just going to read and click to the next one anyway. So they've just wasted money on the audio.
From voice acting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I did like the whole character creation and progression. It felt like you really had the option to customize your character and choose which path you wanted to go down. And even after beating the game and doing all the side missions and stuff, I didn't have enough to really max out a bunch of stuff. So I had to choose one or two routes to really focus on. So my character was... They have weird names for everything. Like, their word for shit is Drek. So, like... They'll say things like, when the Drek hits the fan, and stuff like that. So you know what's going on. It's that kind of world.
Yeah, Shazbot.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're running in as a group, though? So you create a first guy, and then he meets people?
Yeah, he meets people along the way who kind of come in and out of your party, but don't really stay in there.
So it's really just one person, and
Mass Effect-esque.
But yeah. I'm just saying, the tactical RPG, you can't just do that with one, right? So you have like a party that you're doing.
I tried doing it with one person, doing a side mission with one person, and it didn't work out. I was able to do it with two people and get the job done.
Do you have to level up the other people as well? Pick their
progressions? No. You can give them equipment and outfits and stuff to make them a little bit more powerful, or give them items, but really you're just focusing on your character.
Can you be a robotic orc zombie wizard?
Yeah, you can. You can get cybernetic upgrades.
Not the zombie. You couldn't be the zombie part.
Well, not the zombie, yeah. Oh. But you can get cybernetic upgrades.
I was about to run in my room and buy it before they run out.
Yeah.
So you can replace your like your arms and legs with robot parts and make
them
more
powerful.
How
are the graphics and all?
They're decent. It's running on the Unity engine, so it looks okay. It looks good enough.
It
looks as good as this game.
Can you play co-op at all?
No. No co-op.
It was purely single player. To play it together, huh?
As soon as you said leveling up, I know there was RPG aspects.
Oh, yeah. It's heavy in the RPG. And that's something I really liked in it, too. So I built my character up as a decker, which I guess is like a hacker, and a rigger, which is basically a guy who gets little turrets that follow you around, or little...
Like an engineer?
Yeah. So if I were to do it again, I would have gone back and just been the rigger, because he is pretty good. He just hangs back, sends his robot out to kill everybody.
See, when you said rigor and you explained it, I was like, oh, I'm definitely going to play that. And then you say he's so good, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to do that now.
Well, I don't know. I haven't played the mage. I haven't played, like, the assault guy. There's a bunch of different areas that you can go down. And depending on what you are, a human, a troll, an elf, like, whatever you are, that limits what you can become. So the human could max out his decker skills and his rigor skills and his intelligence, but he couldn't maximize his strength or his body. So
why,
you have limitations.
Why do you think that is? Like, humans are never the strong one in any game.
We're
like,
always the most well-rounded.
Yeah.
Usually.
I think that's funny.
Most games, humans have more of, like, the charisma. Like, they have, like, more of...
Je
ne sais quoi.
Interpersonal kind of stuff.
Yeah,
like
in World of Warcraft, humans have a bonus to reputation
or something
like that. They're always the middleman.
They're always
like the middleman.
They're the Ryu of the
street. I just picture if we meet aliens, we're going to be the biggest ones or whatever, and people are going to be... We're really the strong, stupid ones
in the
universe.
Usually in fantasy or sci-fi, you got larger creatures like orcs or trolls or dwarfs. You know, dwarfs are usually, like, stronger, but...
Yeah, hardier.
Yeah, so you got a lot of options there. I really liked it. I mean, there's a lot of things I could go into on this game, but for $375, that's a great deal.
Could you imagine if real-life dwarves were, like, four times stronger than a regular man?
Yeah. They're not? I always...
Retards are.
I've always gone through life thinking that little people are incredibly strong.
I kicked their asses on sight just by
Okay, we're going down a bad path here. What else we got? So that's a recommend for you.
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely recommend that.
Or it's a DL, as we like to say.
as we like to say around here. But I think I've heard a lot of good things about Dragonfall, the expansion. Like, everybody says that improved upon the game so much, but Dragonfall is another 24 hours of gameplay. It is twice as long.
How much is that one?
I think it's $5.99, so the expansion on sale... Well, this is on sale. When these go back up to full price, I'm not sure how much they're going to be. I think it was like $15 or something.
And when did Shadowrun come out? How old is this game?
I want to say a year, maybe 2 years. It's really not that old.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it came out in 2013. I remember when it came out because there was a lot of buzz about it. It was a Kickstarter game.
Oh, that's right. That's why I know it. Okay.
Yeah, so...
Because I was looking at Tropico 4, because you've been talking about it a couple weeks now, and it was like, it's like a couple, $3.99 or something like that on...
Yeah, $2.99 on sale.
I almost got it, and then it's like from 2011, I'm like, that's a little old right now, but...
I didn't realize that game was that old.
Yeah. But you'd recommend I should pick that up, $2.99?
Oh, definitely. And that game is long. What I've been doing with Tropico 4 is playing one mission that takes me an hour or two. And then a couple days later, I'll go back and I'll play another mission. And there's 20 missions.
Gotcha.
So you're looking at a lot of time. And that's if you beat them on the first try. All
right, got to add this to my list. Tropico 4 and then Shadowrun Returns and the expansion?
Yeah, and Dragonfall.
Well, Tropico fell off a sale, didn't it? Or is it still going?
No, it was the 24-hour sale, so it still it's from yesterday, so it's still gone.
Yeah, I would definitely grab that. And I'm definitely going to pick up Tropico 5 when that goes on sale, and I finish up 4.
I'm Bobby, really digging that. Talk to me about Battle Block.
Battle Block Theater.
Yeah, I almost bought this, and then I was looking at it, and it looked fun and all, but I was like, I don't know.
A 2-pack for $6.
I don't know if a platformer is what I want. Is it a platformer?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a puzzle platformer. I'm trying to think of a game to compare it to. There's really not a whole lot of fighting in it. It's mostly about solving puzzles. And this game, you know, we'll talk later about co-op and stuff, but this game is really designed for co-op. I don't think this game would be fun at all playing by yourself.
So did you play this by yourself?
No, I played with a friend, and it's not local co-op. You can play online. And it was a lot of fun.
Can you play local?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
It's got that same kind of humor as Castle Crashers, because it's by Behemoth, the same developers. The narrator in this is so funny, man. He was cracking me up. Like, the cutscenes were just great.
I heard him on the trailer. He was really funny.
Yeah.
Are you using a controller or are you using mouse and keyboard?
I was using a controller.
Okay.
And it was much better with the controller. And this game is super casual. You can't even die in it. You die, you just respawn. And you can retry levels, and you can try to do the time challenge and finish a level in the lowest amount of time. There's really no pressure to.
So is there a lot of, like, you send here to open the door for him, and he goes through and gets the key to go open that, you know? Like,
yeah, in multiplayer, and I think the levels might be different in single player versus multiplayer. I don't even know if this is procedurally generated or not. I was trying to figure that out. But there are areas where there was no way I could get up there by myself. Someone else would have to somehow, like, I would step on a block and that would send a bridge in a certain area, and then my partner could walk across, and then he could step on something that allowed me to walk across, or there's a way where you can flip each other, like if you hold a button, your partner can run into you and you spring him to the other side of the screen, so you can use teamwork in that way.
Remember when we played Trine? It felt almost broken, like it was a little too easy with two people.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, there's these big things that you're supposed to figure out how to traverse, but since we had magic and whatever, the other guy, we just got across these things that we weren't supposed to get through. That's the way I felt. Yeah, it was a great game, though. Beautiful game.
Yeah, Trine was great. Looked great, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a fun game. If you got someone to play it with, then I'd definitely recommend picking it up. I picked it up on sale for like $375, and this was one of the few things on Steam that I was absolutely buying on sale. I was just waiting for it to get real cheap.
Mm-hmm. So this is a purchase? Like, you recommend this?
Yeah, I'd say so. I don't know if it's going to have the longevity as Castle Crashers did. I think this is something that I'll play through, finish, maybe move on from there. But if you got someone else to play this with, definitely. If not, find a friend. You know?
Fuck, I forgot what happened. I saw it for $6.50, and I had just bought you a game, so I was like, I'm going to have Chad buy me this.
Why didn't you do that?
You were asleep or something. I forget. Okay. Whatever.
Well, I mean, we can take a look.
I think you're having solo sexy time.
Okay, that happens.
Yeah.
That happens.
If the door's closed, don't come a-knocking. That's the rule around in casa de Chad.
How about you, Mino? We talked about Oculus. You got Crusader Kings 2. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, it's not going to be long. I went into it.
What kind of game is this?
It's a strategy, like a global dominance, like a Risk
kind of
thing. Yeah, but
same kind of like style as Risk, where it's not like individuals, you just kind of moving pieces around on a board.
No, this is the actual people during the actual time that happened in real history. And you could actually like click on a dude and go to his Wikipedia page and read more about him if you want to. And man, there was a lot of kings back in the day, like so many kings and dukes and earls.
And yeah, like, their own stretch of land's like as big as my condo.
Yeah, yeah, and then and it's all accurate, you know, to the T of that when in time you pick to start.
So it's almost a history lesson while you're playing.
It's exactly what it is. Somebody, as I was playing it, somebody asked me about some game, and I said I beat it in like 2 or 3 hours, which is unlike this game. It's going to take me 2 or 3 hours to learn how to play. Like, it is really in depth. There's a whole lot of shit. And so I just tried clicking through. Like, after reading for about 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes of the tutorial, I was like, okay, let me just get into the game. I got into the game, no clue what to do. When I say nothing, imagine Super Mario Bros. With no D-pad. That's how, like, I was like, I don't know what to do here. So, like, I guess I had some vassals, and I sent them out on missions. And then the...
Do you play as a certain
It's king? Turn-based. Yeah, I got to pick one. And I wanted to be the Vikings, but I couldn't find where they were. So I went with Iceland. I don't think that's who it was. So I got some king on Iceland. And it tells you the difficulty, you know, if you have... You don't have a lot of shit. So basically, it's during the Crusades. And so you could be the Arabs, or you could be the North Africans. Yeah, or the Englishmen, or the Nords. And so there's... And like I said, and they're going by the original names of these countries. So it's kind of, you know, before World War One, where everything was rewritten. So you're kind of like, I don't even know where this place is. And so it's interesting in that fact. But honestly, it's probably one of the least interesting historical times for me personally.
Yeah.
So there is a Game of Thrones mod that I might throw on there and might make interesting, but I'll still be playing Super Mario with no D-pad. So...
You could actually go back and finish the tutorial. You know, that is an option.
I could.
Well, so you picked the game, the longest ramp up game, and then got frustrated that the ramp up was so long.
I haven't given up on it completely.
Yeah. Okay.
But you kind of knew what you were getting into.
Yeah. The entire time I was reading this tutorial, I was like, I could totally play Smite right now, but there is the podcast. Speaking of Smite. I played
Everybody
for about,
drink.
I was playing for 3 hours last night because I was too drunk to go to sleep. Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy, by the way,
yeah.
Way of living. And so it's like 7 a.m. I look at my dailies list. I haven't won a single game in 3 hours. I'm so drunk and I'm losing it for all my teammates.
It's 4v5 they were playing.
Yeah, pretty much. Worse.
It's
like 5v-1.
Yeah.
So you don't recommend this game, right, as of this point. Jeez. If I'm saying...
If you're heavy into strategy games...
Should I pick this up? Let me put it this way. Should I pick this game up?
You're very interested in that part of history? Maybe.
What's a game similar
to
it?
Let's talk next week.
What's a game similar to it?
A Civilization.
Okay.
But much more micromanaging.
Than Civilization?
Yeah.
Holy shitballs.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
That's a game you really gotta buckle in for. I mean, that's a lot of reading.
You played this, Bobby, right?
Crusader Kings? No, I haven't even
the big focus.
It yet, but I've watched a tutorial on YouTube.
Now that I'm thinking about it, that's what I should watch.
Yeah.
The big focus is lineage. It's all about lineage.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta make sure you marry the right person, have children, but then all these weird things come up. Like, you have to have your spy master looking out for plots against you from your vassals in your area. You have to have that going. I don't know. We'll talk next week. And I'm going to see how to get that mod going, too.
Yeah. Tutorials are a tricky thing in games. I really like it. The way that Tropico did it is it started you off with only a few little things to do, and it let you do those. And that's all you could do for the first level was these few basic things. Then the next level, it kind of expanded on that. You could do a little bit more. Till eventually you got to the point where you're doing all these things.
That's what I wanted. Yeah. And, you know, it's a very shitty tutorial. And it was telling me to do things. There was one point, this is where I gave up. It told me to click on this blue button, but it was red at the time. The right button, just, it was the wrong color.
Well, how drunk were you, though?
No, I was sober for this. And I was like, it's not fucking blue. And I'm trying to click on it, and it's not. And I looked all over the screen, but it said exactly where it is. So I couldn't progress through the tutorial from that point. And I was just like, yeah,
well,
I'm definitely going to watch
that. You got to imagine, like, you make a game, it's 3 months of work, for example. Doing a tutorial, a good tutorial, could be another 3 months of work. Like,
yeah. Unless you somehow work it into the game.
Exactly.
If you watched Indie Game, the movie, he talks a little bit on how you train a player in a game. But it depends on the game as well.
And that is a lot of the art of the video game, is this kind of stuff, like, that people sometimes take for granted, but... Being able to do that right and integrate the person and keep reward system and keep learning, because video games is learning. Like, that is the enjoyment, finding out something new, mastering it, finding the next thing new, mastering it. That is why we enjoy video games. And being
but
able
sometimes, to... Sometimes the learning is so steep.
Exactly.
We should know by now to stay away from... Like, a lot of time I'm like, okay, learning... curve is too steep for that. I'm not going to have a good time.
That's why I haven't played Civilization yet.
Right.
Because
that one's not too bad, though. I'll tell you another thing I hate with tutorials is when they're too simple. You know, when you start out a first-person shooter and it's like,
crouch
come over here.
This.
It's like, oh, there's a, it looks like the wall kind of came crumbling down. Guess you better press C to crouch, yeah. C button, and it pops up on the screen. It's like, dude, I know how to duck, all right? Like, sometimes I feel like they get a little too hand-holding on the tutorials. Wolfenstein did that. Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon makes a joke out of it. Almost every single game.
But honestly, what is that, 30 seconds? I was talking 30 minutes here.
That's like, I remember when we played Resident Evil. What was it? Resident Evil 5? It's like, how was it? The first tutorial was like,
it said, hold R2 to aim. Then it sent the 100 RBF fucking 100 zombies running at us.
Push the left stick to move forward. Okay, we got this. Push right stick to aim. Okay, we got that. Now survive, motherfucker, survive.
We didn't know how to heal ourselves. We didn't know shit. Lambs to the slaughter.
Yeah. Okay, well, there's an example of a bad tutorial.
Yeah.
Wow. Should we talk about Full Mojo Rampage?
We
played that.
Mm-hmm. It's a twin stick shooter. Twin stick shooter, roguelike, co-op, permadeath. Anything else that I missed there?
No.
And dungeon crawly.
Top down.
Top down, yeah. And dungeon crawler. All of those.
With RPG elements.
Yes. And it has different classes you can pick. The guys kind of look like, they kind of remind me of the Magicka characters a little bit, I guess.
A little bit. They, there was something they reminded me of, but I can't think of it.
Well, they're Haitian voodoo dolls with
voodoo masks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's got that kind of vibe to it. Looks kind of like The Corpse Bride or something, or some sort of Tim Burton movie.
Something's really weird about this game. Like, the little characters are bright and colorful, mm-hmm. and your colors are like pink and green and purple. Like, everything's bright and colorful. And then these levels are just these brown blah, like, completely worthless. Like I didn't understand it. Like, why didn't you make the whole game bright? Like, why are you putting the worst looking map on these bright little funny characters?
This is like the third time you mentioned this.
My mind.
I don't really notice it. Do you
and
notice
maybe,
it?
Maybe it just makes them stand out.
I don't know.
So you can see yourself on the map.
Like, and there's definitely detail on the edges. Like, there's all kinds of cool stuff, like, on the edges. But yeah, it's just like brown, but maybe it would be too much.
Well, the
maybe
spells you cast and the big bosses you have to fight.
I'm just picturing, like what's
textured,
another one of these?
Something textured,
like when we were playing Torchlight or something.
Right.
Like, it's got interesting things and different levels you go up and down. Yeah. There was
calm
none
down,
of
buddy. Calm down.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
They'll fix it.
Sorry.
Apologize. I actually like this game a lot, but it's something that I don't...
Yeah, you kept saying that, hey, you guys want to play Full Mojo.
Yeah, but nobody wants to play it. What's up with that?
Yeah, we don't want to play with Bobby, is the thing. Is fucking shopping for the best deals over here.
I was like the only one actually doing good. It's probably because I was the only sober one, but...
When we were playing, all you wanted to do is shop, and then you...
the first time.
Yeah.
But this game reminds me a lot of Binding of Isaac. It's not directly relational, but
in the combat, right?
It reminds... Yeah. It's Smash TV. Like, that's when I picture Twin Stick Shooter, I picture Smash TV.
But Binding of Isaac, you run into a room, and it's like Legend of Zelda. Every room's shaped the same, and you run in and you clear that. This one has got more of a map like Diablo, where you got to go across the whole thing.
Yeah, but,
yeah. Yeah, no, it's a fun game.
So I bought the 4-pack for everybody. I think it was $20. I got it, so $5 a copy.
Mm-hmm.
Totally worth that. Yeah, if you got some friends to play, and I played it on the controller, so it's a controller game. I like it.
Yeah.
It's good.
I think this game would be better with the mouse and keyboard, though, honestly.
I was playing with mouse and keyboard and having a fine time. Pete, when he was playing with us, he was having a little bit of... He was struggling
He's
a little bit.
He's never played a twin-stick shooter.
He was figuring it out.
That guy.
But he wasn't asking us questions. He was just like, you move it around with the mouse. And I was like, maybe we should have told him that.
He's so new that he still moves all of his buttons to, not WSD, but the next set over. Because it puts your hand in natural typing position for old MMOs. It totally makes sense.
Yeah.
But now that every game is set up, you need control. You need shit.
WSD is the worst. They did it incorrectly, but it's just now the standard, so they do it. Because if you shift it over one to the right, you've got those extra set of buttons that you can click with your hand.
You could do it with your pinky.
You could do a bunch more buttons.
Easier than shift and
Well, you can still reach control. Shift and control and stuff.
I'm not a big fan of going into the settings and changing the controls.
Yeah.
I usually think if it's a good game, set those controls specifically for that game. They knew what they were doing. And honestly, you can learn any type of controls. No matter what the controls are, you will learn them eventually. If you just change it around every single game and try to customize it your own way, then I feel like it's going to make more work for you in the long run.
First thing I do in every game, go in, change reload to mouse button, and melee to mouse button. It just, it's
way
better.
Yeah, but you have like 26 buttons on your mouse.
Three? Yeah, it's not bad.
No, I can't do that. It messes up my aim. I've heard some people do this, and this sounds like a terrible idea, but I guess it works for some people. They move the fire key to their keyboard, because when you actually press a button on the mouse, then it kind of just ever so slightly will move your mouse a little bit.
Wow.
That's like if you're playing like a sniper game or something.
Yeah, if you're sniping, it might be
like spacebar. Yeah. Spacebar would totally work for a sniping game.
But I don't think I could do that. But I do like to move a lot of buttons. I don't use my mouse for a lot of buttons because of the way I hold my mouse. It's just not effective.
So, Bobby, did you and I actually... We went through the full map on Full Mojo Rampage. We actually got through the first...
Yeah, did I do the first level with you as well?
Yeah, then I played it again with Emilio. But, yeah, I really want to continue that and do the second level. You play through the first one, and that's it. It sends you back to the main menu. You can't just go through the entire game. So you pick a level and go straight through it.
And there's different classes you can play, too.
There's permadeath, but at the same time, you're leveling up your account.
Roguelike, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's
roguelike elements.
And a lot of us were trying to take different classes and fill roles in this when we were playing four-player, but I don't think it works that way. The benefits don't really... Like, you can't have a healer, you can't have a tank. It's pretty much every man for himself, and you find your... own way to effectively kill all the bad guys.
Well, we haven't tried them all.
They
have
classes like I picked the tank class and Bobby picked the healing class, but a lot like most of your attacks are just right click, left click, right click, right? You don't use like the class abilities very often. Yeah. So Bobby's right. Like you could basically run through with anything because a lot of times you're just shooting, you know?
Again, if we're giving a lot of descriptions, it's because there's a lot to this game. I don't know. If you got a buddy, buy it. Pretty much. Yeah, same thing with Battle Block Theater. There's a lot of buddy games coming out.
Yeah.
So maybe we should get into our local co-op segment.
Yeah. Bobby, you want to...
Segway. We actually mentioned a few really good ones already.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. Local co-op games, not just local co-op.
Well, somebody brought this up in the group.
Yeah, in the Steam group.
Who was it? Jens?
I believe it was Jens that originally brought
Jens is getting custom podcasts every week.
Yeah. Well, he's been in our...
No, for sure, and we encourage that, absolutely.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Gives us something to talk about. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's awesome that this is actually a thing we can do on the PC gaming, because for the longest time, you couldn't really use controllers with a PC. I mean, you could, but it was a lot of work, so much that it wasn't really even worth it. Games were not made with controllers in mind on the PC. And also, you couldn't really do local games on the PC too often. Like, two people can't sit at a keyboard and mouse and play a game.
Yeah,
it's not like a console where you got a few controllers. This is kind of a new thing. Not necessarily that it's new, but that it's so mainstream now. I mean, with Steam Big Picture Mode, Xbox plug-and-play controller support, I mean, now you can sit down with someone and just co-op a game.
So, and I also think, like, the PC is coming into the living room a lot more often nowadays.
Oh, yeah,
like that's almost a standard now, where you can be out in the living room
with home theater PCs. Yeah, now, it's a lot of people have computers.
Who knows how what's going to win out? If it's going to be the smart TV, if it's going to be a PC on the side of the TV,
Steam Box.
Who knows what's going to win? But it's going to happen.
Yeah,
it's just.
I saw a cool thing where it's a PC box, but it's also the hooks for your big screen TV, so it's literally behind your TV, the whole case and
so it's
everything.
It's part of a wall mount.
It's a wall mount, so it takes no room up. It's just part of
your
wall mount.
Except for when you want
and
to
it's,
work on
it's
it.
It's got the actual, what do you call it, the telescoping arm to it. It looked really cool. Like,
that
if I had
really
the money,
cool.
I would definitely be throwing that.
And all you need is a wireless keyboard, and you're rocking.
Yeah,
right?
wireless controllers. Wireless keyboard. What I want them to do is a mouse pointer, so you can just point at the screen.
Speaking of which, Razer's coming out with a bracelet. Their prototype's coming out. I sent the link over to Bobby. Who knows what the fuck it actually is, but it is an interface device, and it's a bracelet. They're calling it a smart bracelet. I'm guessing what it is a wand-esque, Minority Report type thing.
Cool.
So hopefully those things. I mean, it sounds all cool, but how tired is your arm going to get? Whoever came up with mouse and keyboard, they nailed it. Like, it hasn't changed in so many years.
Yeah. Well, I really want a mouse pointer that you can basically point at the screen, and that's your mouse. Because if you're sitting back on the on the
Logitech
couch.
Logitech has one of those. The Air Mouse.
I need to get Air. One. Well, first
they're
I
expensive,
need, yeah.
but they
isn't there a cool. ring as well?
Yeah, there's a ring, but it's...
It, and you do something. Oh, I think you click the Air and it counts as a click.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cheap, and I don't know. There's got to be a catch to it. I got to look up some reviews on that because there's got to be. There's no way they're offering it at that price, and it's super effective.
The
and
other thing
also that there's a bar that you put on your desk, and it's Minority Report straight up. Like it just sees your hand gestures.
That's cool.
I believe it's only for the Mac, but I don't remember the name right.
The other thing that I want, which Bobby, maybe you could tell me. Like a lot of times, I have my laptop on my. Lap or whatever, and I don't have room for a mouse, but I hate using the touchpad, so I want a mouse that I can just use in the Air that I don't have to put on anything, that I can just like move my mouse
around.
Yeah,
that's the Logitech Air.
Yeah, is
that'll
it?
Do that.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll have to look into it.
Yeah, no, it's a good mouse. But yeah, so what are some co-op games that you guys would recommend? Local co-op, something you can play with your friends on a couch.
It's so weird. I was telling Chad, I think yesterday, that while it's not my top game waited for right now, it's fucking Binding of Isaac Revival. Just because I'm waiting
Rebirth.
For this... Rebirth. Yeah. Because I'm so waiting for this local co-op. So me and Chad... just today, I watched Chad play through a whole playthrough. We're so into this game right now. And it would be great for like a girlfriend or something because there's not two... Like I've talked about this 3 weeks in a row now. But you're not two Isaacs. One's just a familiar for the other. So you're just kind of helping out. It's kind of like in Super Mario Galaxy, I think.
Yeah.
The girl could just collect it. I call her the girl. Like it's, but let's say, yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
if you're doing this with a couple, it's probably the guy going to be controlling the thing.
And the girl's collecting the stars.
Or the guy's the jock and the girl's the nerd. And so the girl's playing and the jock guy's doing it.
Yeah, that seems somewhat patronizing. Like, you're helping? Yeah. Look at you.
Dude, it's kind of like what I used to give my nephew. Actually, Nick the Dick. When he was younger, I used to give him the controller not plugged in, right? So he thought he was playing, la, la, la.
The other one that I was thinking of is Child of Light, because Child of Light has this little guy that follows you around, similar to, what was that Mario game?
Galaxy.
Mario Galaxy, yeah.
Yeah.
But it actually has elements that you have to do things. There's, like, puzzles where the light guy has to do things, and so it's not just... a passive thing, and then like I said, when you get into the fighting part of it, that little light guy does a lot of stuff. He doesn't actually do the fighting, but he controls a lot of things. So, and it's very different style of gameplay. So if your two buddies are sitting there, maybe you can take turns and see which one does better on what. But Child of Light, I think, would be really cool to play.
Bobby, what about Dust Illusion Tale? Can somebody take control of that little sprite?
No, single player.
But we were talking about controller games. Dust is one of those top controller games.
Yeah, for a single player game, Dust is definitely one.
The other, if you've got a controller and you're looking for games that are specialized for the controller, the other one is Brothers, because you can't play that one with mouse and keyboard, which I've learned to my detriment. So,
Spelunky.
Spelunky.
Spelunky is
definitely a controller game,
but that one
an amazing
is not-
game.
It's a great game, but Spelunky is not casual by any means.
No.
I mean, that's a PDL.
If you have two buddies that are playing games and you're looking for local co-op, Spelunky would be a great one. The other one's Towerfall.
Yeah.
Towerfall Ascension, is it?
Yeah, that just went on sale today, actually. It's on the flash sale.
Yeah, and that one's local co-op too, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, and that one looks good. I have that and I've been meaning to play it. But when I'm playing with the controller on the couch with friends over... then I'm usually looking for something a little more casual because at the same time we're having conversations, we're doing other things. I'm not looking for something too serious.
So Octodad, you did that local co-op,
Octodad,
right?
Octodad is good. And
is that the one where you control each arm or whatever?
Yeah,
like,
an appendage.
Yeah, and it can be up to four-player co-op with four people,
one person
controlling each limb. But the funny part about that, and this happened with Battle Block Theater when I was playing with a friend of mine. When you play these co-op games with other people and there's things that you have to do, you have to work in tandem with them. At first, there's a lot of verbal communication. Okay, you do this. No, you get here. All right, now I'm going to press this. All right, now you go. And then, you know, you have to coordinate those things. But after a while, after playing the games, you get used to the game and you get used to each other.
Each other, yeah.
It's more intuitive. There's less verbal communication and you're just immediately falling into the roles or the positions that you need to be to work with each other to beat a level. And nothing is more true than Octodad when it comes to that. Like, that's a game, just walking takes, like, you know, it's like each of you have to be of the same mind to be able to control a character.
Maybe this is me being the optimist, but I'm kind of thinking, like, if you do this with your girlfriend and you guys get some shit done, that might be good for your relationship. Like,
what's
working together through your common goal, that'd be cool.
What's the Guillermo movie where it was two dudes and a giant robot? I'm just picturing Octodad.
Oh, yeah. with the kaijus and the hunters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, Pacific Rim, which they just announced part two.
I'm just picturing Bobby and the other dude being the two guys in that Pacific Rim machine as he's trying to control Octodad.
That's what local co-op games are like. But there's a lot of working in unison together. But, you know, not just co-op games are good to play with other people. There are single-player games that are entertaining for who's ever watching. Like games like The Walking Dead or Wolf Among Us. Even there was another one that I was like, man, that's Broken Age. Like, that's one, when the second app comes out, I'll probably play through the first one again with my girlfriend, because that's just an entertaining one, and I'd like to get caught back up with it.
Yeah, I'm excited to play that.
I really like watching somebody play something that I've already played to see what their option, the routes they took, you know? Anywhere, any game that has multiple decisions, I would like to watch other people. There's been times where Chad's played something that, so I might watch him play a lot of Skyrim just to see what he chooses early on.
The other thing while I was thinking about this is a lot of times really like visually and story-driven games, a lot of times can be watched similar to a movie. Like, for example, I never played any of the Uncharted series for PlayStation, but I sat and watched my roommate play Uncharted and enjoyed it as much as he did playing the game, or like a Tomb Raider or something like that, where you can see that it feels like a movie that you're watching. I mean, granted, there's gameplay and stuff in there, but watching people play some of those games it can be as enjoyable.
I haven't heard that more about any game ever than Uncharted.
Yeah,
and they even put it into their marketing strategy, where it's like, dude, my girlfriend totally thinks it's a movie, and we're gonna start back up where we left off. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a fun game to watch.
A lot of these games are building in support for Twitch, too, because watching people play games is just such a big thing these days.
So the other thing I was thinking about is, if you got a couple buddies and they want to play games together, you know, I was saying that we were enjoying Nether together, so maybe depending
on what
they want.
Do you think it's because you have the game on your SSD? That's
that
why
it loads so quick?
Yeah.
It's possible. Or it could be my internet connection as well.
The other one was like a Torchlight or a Forest or something like that.
Yeah.
Or a full Mojo.
I was just talking about it the other day. Torchlight 2 is Aliens. It's too much of a good thing. They just threw so much in there.
Yeah.
Torchlight 1 is the better game, in my opinion. It's just pure.
And are you saying Aliens is not as good as Alien?
It's different. It's good in a different way.
Yeah. I guess that's true.
One's a horror, one of the greatest horror movies of all time. Second one's an action flick.
And then the other one that you had brought up, Bobby, was Rayman's Legend.
Man, he gets fired up when you bring up the 80s negatively.
Yeah, seriously.
RoboCop.
Wait, which one was... Alien was 79, okay, and Aliens. Yeah, well, I mean,
79 was a good year for movies, isn't that Star Wars?
Star Wars, yeah.
And Jaws, wasn't the Jaws right around there?
Well, I think what a lot of people, and myself included, they saw Aliens first, and then they went back and watched Alien. It was really slow, you know?
Yeah.
Now that I'm older, I can appreciate Alien, but as a kid, I was just like, there aren't enough guns in this.
And yeah, Alien's for sure. Blowing yeah. up. We can really get into this, but I think we're running a little late. It's all about delayed gratification and, like, the build-up till you finally see the monster, somebody gets killed. It's like 45 minutes, shit, more than an hour, I think, before anything happens. It's just all slow build-up, and then the payoff is so good. But now everything's instant. So, you know, there's a case to be made for both.
Anybody, anything else on the local co-op? I see a couple.
Well, Rayman Legends, I have heard some people say that's their favorite game ever.
Yeah.
Well, of 2013, I should clarify. But I've heard such good things about that.
A lot.
I had Origins, haven't played it. Been waiting for Legends to go on sale. Finally picked it up. But yeah, I'll check that one out. I may even play that this week because I've heard so many good things about it. And that is local co-op only, not online.
I'm curious how they play it together.
Oh, I wanted to bring this up. Do you guys think all these local co-ops are coming out? Do you think that this is a response to Steam going the way it's going with the Steam boxes, or Steam boxes responding to, or is this just how everything's moving together in this living room type scenario?
So are the people leading this direction, or is the industry?
What part of the industry is leading it? Is it the hardware, or is it the software?
I think it's a cyclical thing. Like, you
they're feeding
think
off
of,
each other.
Well, no, you think of the first video games. You come out with a Nintendo, and basically, Nintendo, if you had multiple players, was local co-op. Like, there wasn't an online, mm-hmm. so it was local co-op, and then online came out, and they started to do things, and they wanted to stretch their online legs, and then they realized that they neglected the people that originally started the local co-op thing, and now they're, you know, expanding back into that local co-op. You know, mm-hmm. I think it's kind of like a cyclical thing.
Yeah.
Like, we'll get into this local co-op some, and then they'll find a new avenue that they can stretch
out. At the end of the day, games are supposed to be fun, and games are usually most... at their funnest when...
Please don't use that word. Most fun.
When, you know, you have a group of people, like, on a couch. It is.
And I think this is also a response to the increase in social media. Like, people are realizing that interaction is important to people.
Actual human interaction.
Human interaction is important to people. And so
Chad's been sitting on my lap this whole time. It's way better.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I think this is one of the few areas that PC has left to expand into. I mean, the PC stands for personal computer. Yep. Computers have always been about single player and, like, just one person doing their own thing. And it's been a very limited
personal
experience.
Computer, I had no idea.
You didn't know that? Okay, I was about to slap you.
You couldn't really have a lot of multiplayer co-op experiences on computers until recently with all this stuff. And so it's kind of just another area to go into. But do you guys think that, like, when it comes to co-op, what's an appropriate number? Like, Battle Block, you can only play with two people. Full Mojo Rampage, you can do 2 to 4.
I think 2 to 4 is the right way to go about it. Like, you rarely have more than 4.
We just bought a game that goes up to 8. Two Worlds 2.
Well, I've played a lot of Awesome Knots, which is also a great game. And you can play that with the controller, although I've recently discovered I'm a lot better with the keyboard and mouse. But that game is 3v3. 3 is a very unusual number for co-op. A lot of times I was playing that and, like, there was someone who couldn't get into a game because we had 4 people together, or there was 2 of us, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of an odd number.
I think they picked 3 because that's what they needed for the game, and then they just made it co-op with that.
Bobby, what's the perfect girlfriend game? You think it's the Walking Dead type thing?
It's got to be something, because most girls who don't play video games, they don't have the dexterity built up. Right. You got to go something super casual and just really accessible. Castle Crashers is one I always recommend to people, because that's the brawler beat 'em up games are very forgiving. It's not like you lose and everything's over with.
Yeah.
You know, like Spelunky.
Right.
So, I would not recommend that.
I took my girl to work when she was down here last, mm-hmm. and so she's, you know, I'm working, and so I boot up the console at work to let her do a thing, and booted up Rayman Legends because I heard it was a very easy game to do, and it's a platformer, you know? And I couldn't get her to leave. Like, she was having so much fun. She is not a gamer at all.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, a game like that, because it harkens back to Mario and that style of game. Like, everybody's played Mario.
But this is like a perfected version.
And also, game developers have figured out how to, like, properly ramp up games and to start easy. You know, Mario didn't have that. It was like, you run, here's your first enemy, good luck, you know? And so, like, that game right there, if you're talking about to get a new gamer into, get somebody into games, that Rayman game seemed like it was right there.
Yeah. Cool.
That's definitely going to be one I don't want to commit to anything, but chances are I'm going to be playing some Rayman Legends this week.
Try to play it with your girl.
Yeah, we'll see.
I've talked about it before. If you need to distract or shut up a girl for a while, put her on Peggle. You will not hear a peep out of her.
That's true.
For hours. Hours.
That's like a Angry Birds
or
style.
Bejeweled. There's another one that'll... Anybody.
Candy Crush.
I think I talked about it last time.
Not just saying this is a gender thing, but Bejeweled, man. That's...
Yeah. Anybody can get hooked on those kind of games.
I put a girl to start playing Peggle because I needed to go somewhere or something, and she was asked you to sign in. So she was signing, she put her name in, and she goes, "Who are all these other girls?" I was like, "Fuck!"
Whoops.
Wow. All right, folks, you guys want to wrap it up?
Well, let's talk a little bit about what we're playing next week.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm going to buy Tropico 4 and Shadowrun, hopefully play that. We're going to play Monaco, all three of us together, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Kentucky Route Zero, I played a little bit of, but I'm going to play more of.
Our third chapter came out for that, and it's supposed to be really good.
Do you have to buy him individually, or is he going to get automatically?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think
he was really good.
Yeah.
At Broken Age, I really want to get into. Far Cry 3 and Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, I really want to get into. And Skyrim, at some point, I'm going to have to.
Yeah, that's. So, wait for a slow week.
Put that one at the end.
Yeah. So, and also Witcher 2 I bought because I want to play that before Witcher 3 comes out. So that's got to be. So, man, yeah. I'm just going to.
Well, I would recommend starting with Broken Age. Guess I got to quit my job. You'll burn through that one pretty quick. And that's,
yeah?
that's a
Which
good
one?
One. Broken Age.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, I'm really into these point and clicks, so I can't wait till I do that.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the second chapter to come out on that one. It was supposed to be April. I don't know what happened. I haven't read up on it.
Man, it's such a good time to be a gamer, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Fuck. It's crazy.
I feel so lucky.
All right, how about you, Amina?
I'm going to give Crusader Kings this another shot. I'm going to not like it and stop playing it. Even though
Wish you were playing Smite the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. Besides that, I keep looking at Frozen Synapse there. Don't Starve, I really don't think I'm going to play again. I mean, I just think that Binding of Isaac, I've played that.
The problem is you're hooked on three games. You got Smite, Binding of Isaac, and
so
Hearthstone.
Hard. Yeah,
like
yeah.
that's taking up 80% of your gaming
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I'm not even going to run Skyrim anymore. Not actually, not 80%. I would say like half maybe. But yeah,
I'm really the same way.
I'm really considering uninstalling Hearthstone because it's just like it's always there and it's so easy to jump into. You know?
Yeah, it's very accessible.
Mm-hmm. Well, but Curse of Naxxramas and that's worth talking about. Curse of Naxxramas is coming out in July, so. All
Which, as you
cards.
Said, is a single-player...
Well, it's a whole new set of cards, and it has a single-player playthrough that you can go with a story
I'm
and all
excited.
That. Yeah, that is fucking awesome.
I want them to do the monk
I'll pay
class.
Money for it.
Yeah,
I was thinking
they,
about it. Would you pay for it?
Yeah, definitely.
Or do what kind of class?
Monk. Why haven't they got monk yet?
I don't know.
Anyways, but you didn't say what you're actually going to play.
I don't have anything planned, honestly.
You bought games on the sale, though, right? Haven't you?
Yeah. I pretty much talked about all of them so far. We'll see. Talk to me next week. We'll see what I
Hopefully you'll do some more Oculus stuff too.
I thought you had to take it back.
Maybe. Okay. We'll see. Bobby, what do you got?
Rayman Legends, hopefully. A little bit of Tropico 4 here and there. I feel like I need to get into a first-person shooter too. You know, I like to have a lot of things going on at once. I just came off of a RPG turn-based tactical, so probably going to try and switch it up with something a little different. I don't know what yet. I'm going to pick through
my
games.
Well, we did some Nazgoth. I mean, yeah, we did some Nazgoth.
Yeah, I did do that. What happens when I get all these games and I'm on vacation is I start sampling a lot, and then whatever sticks, I just play that through. Yeah, so I touched on a lot of games this week, and then I really liked Shadowrun, so I played that one all the way through.
I remember now why I didn't pick it up. It's because Wasteland is such a similar game.
Mm.
It almost exactly just slightly different setting. And that's why, and I know I want to play that, so that's why I held off.
But you haven't bought it yet, though, right?
So $375 versus $50.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of a little bit behind the whole movement too. Like, you know, it was a Kickstarter game, and it has a it's the spiritual predecessor to the Fallout series, which is my favorite series.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I'm into the whole thing.
Cool.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening. I think we had a great
Bobby,
time.
You want to?
Yeah.
Make any comments?
All right, check us out at dlgaming.net. You can email us at dudes@dlgaming.net. Also, check out our Steam group. If you don't do anything else, definitely do that. Friend us on Steam and check out the group DL Gaming.
I saw you put your new list up for games, free games.
How many games do you have at this point?
A bunch.
Yeah, it's like
I was
60,
scrolling through them.
Yeah, it's about 60 to 70 games, I think.
Yeah.
Per week. They aren't anything super good, but you know, like this week we had Portal 1 on there. A few other good ones.
Yeah, I was looking through. I was going to respond with.
I wouldn't grab any. Just leave them for the listeners.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. But I was going to respond and say which ones that I would recommend.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty really good.
Yeah, there are definitely ones on there worth
picking. Are you getting hit up every Wednesday or whatever and you're doing it? When are you doing it?
And even
it's on Friday, usually around 4 to 5 o'clock Pacific time.
And even if, like, they. Don't know what the game is. It's free. There's no downside for them trying it out.
Yeah, you
know,
that's motherfucking out. Santa Claus over here. Yeah, digital Santa Claus. He wakes up on Fridays like, I'm gonna brighten some days today.
Yep.
All right.
Make this life worth living for some young lad somewhere. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Tell a friend. Join the group.
Yeah. See you. Appreciate it.
Bye.